This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O Holy One, help us with our unhappy divisions. Unite us, O God. We realize yet again, with sadness and pain, how far apart we are. Because we are a united country, called to transfer power in peaceful ways, called to trust the voice of people and respect the leadership that our democracy chooses, called to work together, to rise together, to fall together, to work together, to become together, to listen and learn from each other. Because we are also a faithful people in this nation. We are united in you, and us here as Christians, we proclaim that we are united here in Christ. We're a people who are part of something bigger than our differences, bigger than our candidates, bigger than the knots in our stomachs or the smiles on our faces, bigger than our political parties, bigger even than our nationality. We are united in Christ, called to follow Jesus in word, thought, and deed, loving and welcoming our neighbor, loving ourselves, proclaiming love and justice for all God's children. So unite us, O God. Unite us, God, in the work before us, whether today we rejoice or weep. We call upon you to unite us in our healing, unite us in our learning and listening, unite us in our prayers for all our leaders as they embrace new challenges, new roles. Unite us in our calling to commit ourselves ever more faithfully to the message of hope that we uniquely proclaim in our baptismal promises. And most of all, God, unite us in our journey as we step into the light that you ever call us toward. May we look forward with hope to the day when we can behold with wonder the great things we have co-created with you, and we say, as for us and our household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Good morning. God has a sense of humor. After what we all experienced this past week, we get a parable about waiting. I was looking through my notes, and some years ago when I preached on this particular parable, it called to mind an experience I had had at the 5 o'clock service where I was talking about marriage rites as they would be in Jesus' time, and they were threefold. The first thing was the betrothal that we know about with Mary and Joseph. Then there was the ceremony, and then there was the wedding feast. Three things that are important for us to understand to grasp the meaning of this parable. But when I started to talk about the stages, I said the first stage was betrayal. And someone in the congregation shouted out, "That comes later." There were three stages. There would be the betrothal that would usually sometimes last up to a year, like we know about Mary and Joseph. And then there would be this ceremony, and then the bridegroom would go to prepare a place for the bride. Remember John's gospel, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus is giving a wedding reference here, taking us as his bride. But after he would prepare that place, and there would probably be some partying that would be going on with the family, the bride's not there, And then the bridegroom would say something like, "And when everything is ready, I will come and take you to myself." We know that from John's gospel too, as well. The sole purpose of the bridesmaids was because they never knew when the bridegroom was going to come for the marriage feast. They had to be ready and they had to have their lamps lit. That was the whole purpose of the bridesmaids. The one single thing that they were meant to do, and five of them really messed it up. They forgot the one main thing for them to achieve their purpose. Today is a day for us as St. Joseph's, and really in this nation and this world, to not forget our values, to not forget our main purpose. It's so easy to do that in the distractions and the busyness and the different inputs we are getting from all sides. The main purpose of our life together as Christians. It is not by coincidence that Jesus' final prayer in John's gospel was for our protection and for our unity. Those are incredibly important values for us to continue to remember. We can look at this gospel when we look at it in the context of where it is in Matthew's gospel. It is after the parable we hear next week, the chapter immediately before Jesus' passion and death. So Matthew positions this to sort of set the stage for, you got to be ready, because this is what's coming. And it is also important to understand the context of the life of the church when Matthew's gospel was written. Initially, they all thought that Jesus was coming back imminently, very soon. And most scripture scholars agree that this gospel is written after the fall of the temple. So we're now into the year 70, 80, 90. So now it's 30, 40 years after Jesus ascends, and he's still not back. And so they need to be reminded to stay ready, as we need to stay ready. Remembering the most important thing. Who are we? What is our mission? What are our values? If we were to look at the learnings from this parable, that is definitely one of the most important. A reminder to remember, what is our mission? What is our purpose? What are our values? If the foolish bridesmaids had reflected on that, perhaps they would have had the oil with them. The second thing we can learn from this is that we can't depend on others for our spiritual journey. We are responsible for our own spiritual health. There is no replenishment of spiritual fuel that we can take from someone else. We can get encouragement, but the interior life that we are called to have is ours alone. Someone has wisely said that Christianity is always one generation away from extinction, because it is important for each one of us to have the spiritual tools, the fuel, in the words of the parable, that we might be ready to fulfill God's purpose for us. Now, Perhaps as you hear this parable, as many think, you just think, well, we could get our oil from the other five. Well, remember, if they have brought enough oil just for themselves, if I give half of my oil to you, our oil is going to go out at the same time. Half the time it might be needed to stay lit, and all of us are going to be in the dark. So it becomes important for us to look within and see what I'm doing to maintain that spiritual fuel and that light within me. We also learn from this parable by the actions of those foolish bridesmaids that some things cannot be put off until the last minute. They choose to run out. They choose to run out and try to find some oil. And they probably found that all of the shopkeepers were closed. It becomes a call to us not to wait until we need God to have God in our lives. Some years ago, we did a series with Philip Yancey, and in this regard, he gave a quote something similar to this. The problem with our prayer life is that we only pray about our problems, that we wait until there is a need that we have, and yet God wants to be with us at all times. And then there is what is my favorite learning from this parable. If we're not prepared, we're going to miss some incredible opportunities. This whole idea of being invited to the banquet is not just the heavenly banquet we're going to share when we die. It is the idea that we experience that now in our lives. And the fact that they left to go try and find some midnight oil, they missed the party. God doesn't want us to miss the party. We celebrated this past week a feast of a great saint in our church calendar, William Temple, who was an Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1930s, 1940s, known for his great spiritual insight and his spiritual interior life. And one of his famous quotes is something like this. He says, "It amazes me when I'm faithful to my prayer, coincidences happen all the time." It's amazing. But he says, when I'm not faithful to my prayer life, for some reason those coincidences don't seem to happen. The point is this, whether or not we realize that God is active in my life, when I'm in touch with that, I can see it. I can perceive it more. And consequently, I can celebrate it more. I don't miss the party. And then there's this learning. This is the hard one. Sometimes we just have to wait for God in the dark. We learned a bit about that this week, waiting. Think of those foolish bridesmaids. If they had just stood their ground and waited with the light of the torches from the wise ones, those torches would have lit their way as well. But they left to go get oil, to try to find a quick fix. We have our dark times. Things happen. We lose people in our lives. We get sick. We get disappointments. We want to do a lot of stuff to try to live in denial of what the darkness has brought to us. We try to fill up our lives. When sometimes if we just stand our ground and wait, the bridegroom will show up, and we can lean on the light of others. Sometimes we just don't want to see the process through. And yet, the only thing sometimes God is asking us to do is wait. The parable ends with Jesus saying, "Be prepared, for you know not the day nor the hour." And that fear part of us wants to say, "Oh, he's talking about how I could die tomorrow, and so I better get my life in order." I don't think that's what he's talking about. He wants us to be attuned because those blessings and God sightings are happening each and every day, that the bridegroom is showing up in people, in events, in things, and everything else in our lives, if we stay true to our values and our purpose. So often we hear the words in this regard, "If you knew you were going to die tonight, what would you do differently?" I love the way Dallas Willard, great spiritual writer, rephrases it. And he poses Jesus' question to us as this: not about if you knew you're going to die tonight, but Jesus would say, if you knew you were going to live forever, what would you want to do differently today? May we wait. May we keep our values prioritized. Amen.